This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
We're glad you chose to listen to Just Talking It Up. I'm Janet. I'm here with my buddy Crash, and I hope you're enjoying your independence out there because it's not going to last very long. Crash, are you feeling independent today?
You mean Independence Day, July the 4th?
Celebration
of that independence?
Yeah, we ain't celebrating that no more. That's not a party anymore. You can't even barbecue on that day.
Are we going south? Is that what you're saying? Our lives are going south? There's no more independent living?
I think we've gone so far south, we're going north now. We're on the other side of the globe. We're headed north.
You know, having left Atlanta and gone south for a period of time, I do recognize that there is some place in Florida where the map changes and you get extremely further north the further south you go geographically. But I don't think that's what you're talking about.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about the government taking over your life. They are invading every centimeter of your life.
Well, I would agree. And if you want to look at two significant places that they're invading our life today, it's guns and retirement.
Well, you're about to not have either one. That's what it looks like anyway.
Well, I think that they have determined that the Second Amendment, that you have no right to bear arms against an onerous government, that part of the Second Amendment, which is really the core of the Second Amendment, is never mentioned in any writing, in any talk show, any news broadcast. That never comes up. It only talks about Newtown Massacre and clips and numbers of bullets and size and what have you. So you just, it's very, very frustrating when they don't even deal with what the founding fathers determined was the reason for the Second Amendment.
Well, we got such weenies up in Washington. I honestly don't believe that I can trust any of them. And I think I'm just going to have to become one of those hoarders, one of the stockpilers, the guys that have their families start preparing for the end days and, you know, hiding and stockpiling and finding a way to weasel things into a place where it can't be found and except by me. And it's just crazy. It's insane. It's making people very defensive and I think frightened.
Well, I think frightened is probably an accurate place to be. I mean, many times, I can't remember who initially said this, but they said, I love my country, but I'm afraid of my government. And I think that that's where we are.
That's where I am.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess it would be, well, let's ask ourselves the question. If they require you to register all of your guns, first off, they have background checks, step one. Then they require you to fill out a form to buy a gun. Then they say, well, if you've got guns already, you have to register those guns. You're going to register everything you got?
No.
Either.
No. If I go out and buy something that after that is enacted, then I probably will.
Well, you probably
but
would
no.
have to, yeah.
Yeah, they'll force you to, but I wouldn't have to be forced. I would do that just because that's the law. Yeah. But that's like saying, are you going to pay back the TGNY, the piece of gum that you stole when you were six? No.
Did you do that? Did you?
Well, I'm sure I did. I don't remember doing it, but I'm sure I did.
And how long ago was that?
Well, a while.
Okay.
You don't see any TGNYs anymore, do you?
That's true.
But, it used to be a wonderful thing to be able to say, we burned the mortgage to our home. We paid our last payment. We now own it. We burned it. You know, and that used to be a ceremony. It used to be something that people celebrated. But now I'm worried that that's not the end of what you owe on your home.
Now that you mentioned that, there's something else afoot. There has been a movement in Congress for some time to consider anyone who owns a home having to pay income tax on the rent that you would get if you rented your home out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard this. It's insane to me.
Yeah. Well, that's not the only insane thing you've heard, I'm sure. So to say that they wouldn't consider that, I think, is ludicrous, because they will. I guarantee you they will.
we thought we would be preparing for our future in the event that there would be some kind of, you know, strange new laws that come about. We think we're going to own our own farm. So we buy 10 acres, and we've got these 10 acres, and we're making payments on it faithfully, and we're getting close to paying it off. But what difference does it make? We will have lost all the money that we paid into this land if the government decides that we have too much land. 10 acres is too much for a family of our size, or too much for when other people around us don't own any land, or they only own their 1 acre that their home is on. You know, I feel like those things really are coming around the corner, and it makes me a little bit worried to invest in anything. Well, it's almost forcing me to become dependent on the government instead of doing something for myself, because if I do something for myself, it's going to get taken away from me.
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do, is to make
that's
you...
What it, that's what it seems like. I mean, wouldn't that be common sense to anybody?
No doubt about it. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
Okay, tell me the mindset of some of the liberals that are, and it's so-called conservatives too. Tell me what the mindset is on what is it they want to accomplish. Do they really believe that this is the way utopia is going to come about? Do they really believe that this is a helpful thing that will help the most number of people, the largest part of the populace?
I think that they believe it is something that will help them politically. Now, you know, you've got to, I believe, if you look at layers of this thing, I believe that there is a very sinister plan going on underneath all of this. The sinister plan includes increased power to the government, increased power to the party that is after doing this, which is, I believe, the Liberal Party. Once they have control over the main areas, if they have control over your health care, they have control over foodstuffs, they have control over protection or guns, and they have control over your retirement and your money, your cash, they have access to your, and under the health care plan, they do have access to your checking account. They can take money out of your checking account. That is one of the tenets of the health care plan. So if they have all of access to all of those things, tell me where else they can go. Now, if you want to look at being able to transact business either on a barter basis or on a cash basis, the next thing they could do would be to change the currency. Now, this was something that was a big in talking circles back in the 70s. And you're seeing it come back again, the possibility of exchanging currency. So you, if you have accumulated dollar bills, for example, they could change those. And if you've, let's say that you've accumulated $100 bills and you've got 100 of them, they will at some point in time say, you know, those that you had at a certain time back in the back, they may have numismatic value, but they have no value to transact business on a geopolitical basis. And so unless you take those old bills in and turn them in for new bills, they are no good. Then you turn them in for the new bills, and they will say, where did this come from? Did you pay income tax on this? Prove that you did that. So if you cashed a check, or if you had an expense check, let's say, and you decided to keep that money in cash, do you run the risk of them coming back and saying, that's drug money, or that's... money
I heard
pay income tax on.
One of the things that has made me think about some of this stuff is, you know, of course, it could just be a Firestarter commercial, one that just is trying to get attention, trying to be talked about. But I heard a commercial about selling gold, and that there were some rumors flying around that there were some ideas that even if you buy gold, that soon you will have to be registered, and you have to register all the gold that you buy.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible.
That they're following even gold.
They're following everything. I don't think there's no doubt in my mind they're following everything.
But what is the benefit? What is the benefit of following all this stuff? What
control? Control. I mean, think about it. If they come into your house and if they need some reason to get into your house to do something, whatever it is, if they've got one thing on you, then they have an ability to invade your private life. I mean, unlawful search and seizure. There's part of the Constitution. Now, there have been numerous things where government police forces have taken, they capture this gun. Well, even in drug situations, they capture the money. The assumption is that that's drug money, and you and I probably believe that that is drug money. But the question is, under search and seizure, is that really a legitimate thing to do? Somebody comes to your door. Now, this is a case where an elderly lady, police came to this elderly lady's home, broke in. Her son was there trying to say, please, my mother's, leave my mother alone. We're okay. They came in. The son made a move to try to protect his mother. The police shot him, said that he was, he made a move and their life was threatened. So here somebody is trying to protect their home. There was no search warrant that police department had. So what do you do when somebody comes through your door that way? It's terrifying to think how out of control our lives could be if we have no control over our money, our health care, our retirement. Anything that you save could be taken away from you. That may sound like conspiratorial theory, and you don't have too far to go from what you see in the news today to have a conspiratorial belief.
Well, so what are people going to do with their retirements? What happens? What can you invest in now?
Now that's a good question, and I don't know that I know the answer to that. But in terms of retirement, I think the next stage is that they will take retirement plans, 401ks, IRAs, and they will begin a process of integrating that into Social Security. So any independent money that you've got, maybe it'll start out with a certain amount over a level, and then it'll dwindle on down. You will not be able to recognize any retirement system other than Social Security 15 years from now. I do believe that.
Wow.
I think that's where we're heading.
So do you think that that eventually we'll start picking up assets also?
Sure. They're already talking about going after assets.
Wow.
Not just earnings, but assets.
Cash it in, folks, and spend it while you can.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to go if you want to look at that theory, you really go back to the time when you traded meat for sugar and sugar for flour and flour for a day's work. And
so are people better off just going into debt right now and carrying debt around? Are they better off investing and saving?
Well, let me ask you this.
The world's upside down.
Let me ask you this. What if you got two choices? You have $1 million house that you paid for, sweat equity, totally paid for. You have $1 million house that you bought for $1.5 million and you put $10,000 down on it. And you've got a system like we're either have today or are heading for. And they're going to tax the person who owns the house for $1 million. Because they have an imputed rental rate that they could have. Tell me which one of those is the smarter of the two people. Do you feel good about having a house that's paid for? They're giving money for 2.5 to 3 years for somebody who is unemployed. At what point in time do you stop that? At what point in time do you say $50 million out of $300 million are on food stamps? At what point do you say we can't do that anymore? There has to be some way that you say you've got to work. If you get money on welfare, you ought to have to take a drug test. Tell me why that is onerous to have somebody take a drug test. Do you want to give them money to go take drugs? If you don't, then why should they not have to take a drug test before they get welfare?
Well, see, that's all common sense to me. But that, you know, common sense is no longer common sense. I have a hard time understanding the big issues. The small issues like that I can understand, but I can't understand why other people don't legislate it that way. if I'm going to give you money that comes from a group of people like U.S. citizens, I ought to be able to give you a drug test. And that seems like a simple, it seems like a simple thing to do. And if someone is hungry for food and needs the help, they ought to be willing to kick the habit enough to get help for food so that they can get themselves back on their feet and get a job.
Well, that's logical. But that's, now, let's say that you're in the Democratic Senate. Which are you going to stand up and make that vote, or go against Harry Reid, go against the leaders in the Senate, knowing that you're going to be vilified, and possibly even knowing that they know something about you that happened 20 years ago?
But if we pick something, an argument small like that, what would Harry Reid's defense be?
Well, nobody's going to bring it up to where he has to make a defense. Does he take things to the floor and have votes on them? No, anything that he doesn't have control of, he just won't let it see the light of day.
So what I want to teach my children when they're young, now that they're still young, but they're young enough, they don't have jobs yet, what I want to teach them is to look into politics, because that's where the power is. Right? Well,
if power is your goal.
Well, power, if you don't have the power to own a gun, you don't have the power to own a piece of land, you don't have the power to not be taxed on a certain thing, you have to have power. It looks like all the power and all the influence is going to be in politics. So politics is where our children should be. If we want them to succeed, we want to push them into politics.
Well, I know that's a red herring, because I know you don't believe that. And would argue against that if I took the other side. So,
but you can't beat them, join them. So why wouldn't you just become a politician?
I know you don't believe that either. So,
but that's the way. That's the way you would logically think it out, though, Crash.
But I have a good friend who is a politician, and he is in the U.S. House, and he. You know, I guess everybody says, I hate those guys, but my guy's a good guy. Well, my guy was voted the second most conservative guy in the U.S. House a couple of terms ago, and he said, I demand a recount. So he is one who does vote a conservative Christian conscience, and he does so very consistently. So I remember when he went to the House, he said, I do think I can make a difference. I believe that we need somebody up there that has logical sense and will do something about it. You know, he's been there for 10 years, and he says, I'm telling you what, this place is a cesspool. Said, it is hard to think that you could make any sort of radical changes in our country at all, because you do have people up here who vote that power, and it's for their own power to stay in power.
Well, I look at things like government health care, and for some people that's going to be a good thing, but not for very many people. For most people, it's going to be a terrible burden. And we looked at this hospital. You know, I recently had this hip replacement done, total hip replacement. Which I'm younger than most of the patients that go in there for that, and I'm glad of that. I'm just glad I got it done now. But you want to take a guess on what the bill was, the total bill for the total thing? You want to take a guess at how much it was?
$100,000.
Very close. It was over $75,000.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess at what my surgeon's portion was?
Well, I'd say that you're talking about before the man insurance that company knocked it down. His portion,
no,
probably,
his
I would
portion.
Say, probably 15, and it was knocked down to 5 by the insurance company, would be my guess.
His bill, his total bill, was $900.
Okay.
Now, between $900 and over $75,000, there's got to be a way to cut those costs. And somebody has run amok, and it's not the doctors. The doctors are the ones that are going to be the ones stuck in the behind with all this stuff, because $900 is not an exorbitant. That's not an outrageous fee to do. He cuts into my body. He cuts the top of a bone off, replaces it with a piece of metal, and does the same thing on the other a joining bone, and then puts me back together. And I'm walking 4 hours after surgery. This is a man who's, in my mind, he's gifted. And he ought to have, if anybody gets the lion's share of this money, it needs to be him. But right. I don't think anybody is going to argue that that's a $75,000 improvement. There is no way I would have said the pain that it was in my hip was worth us saving and selling everything and spending $75,000 on. And the reason is because nobody's going to charge me $75,000 for it. Yeah. The hospital, if you go and offer them cash, is going to pay. I could probably have gotten it done, all said and done, for under $10,000 if I paid cash for everything. And that would have been worth it to me because the pain was getting pretty intense. And it was changing my lifestyle. Now, what has Obamacare done to all of that? It has taken the $75,000 away from the hospital and taken the $900 away from the doctor as well, and it's giving the doctor a $50 prize, I guess. And where's the rest of this money going? And why aren't the insurance companies just really going crazy over this stuff? Because they're going to go out of business just trying to meet the requirements that Obamacare has put forth. This is the biggest nightmare, and being in the middle of it and looking at, when I realized my surgeon cost $900, I'm thinking, I could have done that. Why did we have to go? What's the $75,000 for? Yeah. And I realize you got a hospital, you got a building. Well, I have a home. I mean, I know what it costs to air condition a room, and I know what it costs to have a nurse come in every day and take care of me every day, which is what happened. And I know that it's kind of expensive for medicine, but if we could have done that surgery in my basement, I could have sterilized everything, done everything just exactly the way they did in the hospital without any big special magic dust comes down from heaven. They're not the only people that can make things right. And I could have done that for $5,000 in my house if I had a surgeon that would come and do it here. It had the same outcome. Where's the money going?
Let's go back to the $900. Is $900 what he was paid after the insurance company negotiated with the hospital, or is that what was on the original $75,000 bill?
That was his part of the bill.
Okay. Then now, see, that's significantly lower than what I thought. But the system is that they charge exorbitant fees. The insurance company comes in, negotiates down to a certain level, and then they pay whatever their portion is, and you pay whatever the copay is.
So I could have gone in as an individual, assuming that the hospital would deal with me. I could have gone in with an individual with a pile of cash and said, look, I have $900 to pay the surgeon. I'm going to pay the doctor his $900. I'm going to need to have a room, and I'm going to need to have an anesthetist. I'm going to have, you know, a few different hands on deck that are supposed to be there. So that's another $3,000. I'll pay everybody, each person, $900 for being there. If the doctor gets nine, give everybody nine. And then I got to have a room, and I'll have the room, just the room itself couldn't have been, I mean, the finest hotels in the world are $500 a day. I mean, surely to goodness, we could do it for $500 a day, don't you think?
Yeah, and usually the floors are dirty, and you know that there's germs all over the place because they don't clean them very well, even in the best hospitals.
Well, is it negligence insurance? Is it malpractice insurance that we're having to pay for? Or is all of that money going to be spread out? My insurance company that supposedly is going to be paying this money, where's all that cash going? What is it going toward? Is that what's going to be paying for the indigents that can't pay for surgery, that need the same surgery?
Part of that is true. Now, but let's go back to the $900. The real problem that we have is that the person who does the work, who is really the master craftsman at fixing the leg. Now, obviously, they need some of the other things around that, just exactly as you said. But that's the person who, in your case, made what? 1% of the total bill? 1% of the total bill was what they made? out of that whole thing? That makes no sense. So I've got a good friend who is a doctor. He said, I could not go into medicine today. He said, I'm struggling as it is because they don't pay us fast, number one. It takes 90 to 180 days to get them to pay on Medicare patients. We have fewer and fewer people who are coming in here with personal insurance. And he says, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling to stay in practice. And the medical profession was supposed to be the best thing you could have, would be a doctor for cash flow. And well, the government is, they're doing their best to cut that person's income every year, reducing it. Medicare and under the new Obamacare, all of that stuff is being cut to the physician.
Sounds like a farmer.
Sure.
You know, a farmer busts his behind and he does all the work and he gets less than 5% of what the total bill is when somebody buys an ear of corn and takes it home.
Absolutely.
Things have just gotten completely backwards. And the government is, they're stepping in to take over so many different things. And Obamacare worries me, for one, just because I've been in the middle of this medical quagmire here. And we're paying our bills on time. Fortunately, we're able to pay our bills. But there are people out there that don't have as good of insurance as we do. And our insurance is a fortune. And right. It's still not any good. And you have to fight tooth and nail and argue with this. And one person will tell you one thing and somebody will tell you something different. It just, everything has gotten so big. It's almost as if we need to just back up, become a small community again, do business with your small community, buy from your next door neighbor, let your neighbor buy from you what they need. Everybody starts producing goods around in your community and you shop within your community. And we need to start this thing over because it's the government getting in the middle of the medical profession and getting in the middle of defense, weapons, and the lack of defense that we have as a nation right now, they're screwing it up. They've screwed it up. They've been screwing it up for a long time, but we've let them. So now we've got this genie that's out of the bottle and it's so big we can't get him back in the bottle.
Right.
We need to kill him. I don't know if you can kill a genie.
Well, we're in serious quagmire. There's no doubt about that. And, who knows what we have to do, but I think it's easy to say that you go back and do business just in your local community, doing business in a local community. Unless I've got a plane ticket and a briefcase, I can't do business. I do business outside of my city all the time. So it's
government is going to, the government has got their hands in everything. And, I don't think it's one party or the other. And I don't really watch politics much anymore, but because I'm in the middle of this medical stuff, that's what made me, when I saw his bill, I just wanted to go and hug him because I thought that's just so reasonable. That to me is reasonable. And it's not even, it's to me, that's just reasonable. It's beyond reasonable when you look at what everything else is costing. But you can't depend on saving anymore. You cannot depend on investing in your future. There is no investment in your future. The investment in your future is government. And so I just have this sick feeling in the back of my mind that we ought to just cash everything out and start spending it and enjoying it, because truly I don't think that it's going to hold its value very long. And I'm not sure where we need to turn. I'm kind of lost here, Crash. You need to tell me what I should do.
I think I'm wandering around in the dark exactly as you are. And
I'm not a doomsdayer. I mean, if the government takes over everything, fine. That's fine. I'll still get along. I mean, I believe in myself that much. But it is very frustrating to watch the things that my parents worked for kind of go down the tubes, and you know, the freedoms that they fought for.
It's beyond frustrating. It's maddening. Absolutely maddening.
Well, we need to go back to Big Brains Media and find us a show to listen to, and maybe they can educate us.
we need to be talking about sports. At least somebody wins in every sporting event.
Hey, so, there you go. Next week, let's talk about Jackie Robinson. I know we started off thinking about that today, and I want to see this movie. Maybe you can teach me something about baseball if I go and see that movie.
I tell you, go see that one. But also, if you go to YouTube, The original Jackie Robinson movie that was made in the early 50s, you can watch. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. You can watch it on YouTube in its entirety.
Okay.
It's very
I'll
interesting.
I'll learn something, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would watch that one before you go see the new one. I've not seen the new one either, but I saw the first one when it came out initially. And then at one point in time, I had a chance to meet and on a couple of occasions and spend a little bit of time with Pee Wee Reese, who played shortstop on that Dodger team that Jackie Robinson was on. And you'll see when you see that movie, I'm sure they'll have this in there. Reese was one of the guys who originally befriended Robinson on that team. And
wow. And you got to spend time with him?
I did. I did. And back in 1976. Sure did.
Wow, that's kind of cool. I would like to hear about that, but I think we're out of time.
Okay, well,
so let's do our next show on baseball on Jackie Robinson.
We'll talk about that. That sounds great. We'll do that.
So there's your teaser, folks. Come back and listen, and you'll hear something. You learn something about not Pee Wee Herman. What was his name?
Oh, mercy. Pee Wee Reese. Pee Wee Reese just turned over in his grave. Pee Wee Herman. Wow. Okay. What a visual to take.
On that note, we want to thank BigBrainsMedia.com for giving us a chance and also believing in us and our producer, JP Spann. And we ask that you'd go to BigBrainsMedia.com and pick out a show. If you don't like this one or if you do like this one, let us know what you think. But go and listen. There's Undone, Redone, and High School Heroes, and all kinds of stuff that ought to get your interest. So go give it a listen and come back and hear us next week. Let's learn something about Jackie Robinson. You have a good one, Crash.
Okay, you too, Janet. Talk to you later.
To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.